Welcome to the Neurodiverse Love Podcast. I'm Mona Kay, and I was married for 30 years, in that relationship for 32, and we didn't find out we were a neurodiverse couple until our 29th year of marriage. And I've been divorced since 2018, and together we have an amazing adult daughter who's thriving and doing fantastic. And my hope is that the information shared in this podcast will help you understand the strengths, differences, and challenges in your neurodiverse relationship as you move forward in life. Welcome to the Neurodiverse Love Podcast. Welcome back to the Neurodiverse Love Podcast. And today I'm having a conversation with Domla. And Domla lives in Melbourne, Australia. And she is actually from Istanbul. So she has a lot of different cultures that she has been involved in. And we're going to talk a little bit about her experience in a relationship where she noticed some things that weren't feeling quite right for her and how that affected her and her young son. So Domla, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mona. I really love your podcast and it teaches me a lot. So thank you so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for those kind words. So I'd love if you could share with the listeners a little bit about what you're doing, because I know you said you were getting a postgraduate degree, kind of what your studies are all about, and a little bit about maybe how you met this partner who you're no longer with, or ex-partner, and then we'll get into the conversation about what you learned.
Sure. So I'm 44 years old, by the way. So after I had my son, I started to realize that, okay, I'm going to be single mom from the beginning because he was a surprise baby. So, and I wanted to change my career because I want to be able to give enough love and attention to my son. My previous career was a little bit strict. It was all like, you know, about logistics and just more men in the industry. So anyway, then I started studying counseling, and it was like during COVID. And so I finished diploma of counseling, and then I realized that I want to learn a little bit more, especially about relationship, family and relationship counseling. So I, maybe 5-6 months ago, I started postgraduate diploma of family and relationship counseling. And I'm hoping to be a relationship counselor, and I would love to be able to help, especially neurodivergent couples. So that's wonderful. What's happening right now. I'm still studying.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about your relationship that you were in. I think you had said for about 15 months. How did you all meet each other?
So I met on one of the online dating sites, and I should probably mention I was actually single for a long time, even though I had my child, but I only dated to my child's father for 3 weeks. So I hadn't had a relationship for a long time. And yeah, so I met him on an app, and so instantly connected because he seemed so charming and so loving and very like, how I felt, he was just very transparent and a little bit maybe childish. He wasn't really like immature, but it felt really good, amazing. So yeah, I thought he was being very authentic. So that's how it started, the beginning of the relationship.
Okay. And then did he ask you out on a date, or did the relationship kind of continue online? How did that work?
Oh, so yes, he immediately wanted to go on a date with me, maybe after just a couple of days chatting. So he actually just canceled one of his meeting, which I should say probably when I said his meetings, it would cost him $1,000. He was a consultant, so he was like charging half day or, you know, whole day. And when he did that, I was like, oh my God, he must be really into me, because I didn't know by then, but I knew that, you know, he was canceling his work meeting for me. So I was kind of even like more impressed. Oh yeah, this guy must really like me. So that's how it started. We just started dating, and everything went very fast after that, quite fast for me.
So Thank you so much for sharing that. So tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say fast. What were you seeing? What was occurring?
So what's happening was he was l dropping everything to be with me all the time, especially like first few weeks. Like he was just changing everything so he could see me more, and he was staying at my place all the time, or I went to stay at his place. And after 3 weeks, he actually gave me the code, like his access code for his door, and I was just like, oh my God, yeah, it's just 3 weeks. And he just created all these accounts for the, you know, the Netflix or the house, this smart house system. So it was quite fast, and I felt like, oh my God, I'm in a relationship. But I was just like, okay, this doesn't feel quite right, but I was happy. Like I was just, you know, he was like love bombing me by then. Now I realize that I love that because I didn't have love for 10 years, so that was amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so he was love bombing you. I was going to ask if you thought it was that. And what made you think that he might be neurodivergent? What was it that happened that made you kind of have that light bulb go off in your head?
He actually told me that his ex-wife divorced him because he was on the spectrum. Like she believed that he was on the spectrum. So he actually gave me the first hint. And after that, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna read more about autism because I want to know like if he's on the spectrum, how he is, or what I will, you know, experience with being in a relationship with someone neurodivergent, because by then I didn't know I was a neurodivergent. So I start reading and studying early, like maybe after a month, about autism. Yeah, so he gave me the hint.
Well, yeah, he gave you more than a hint. He told you that he was. So that's wonderful that you started reading up so that you could learn more about autism, because a lot of adults don't know. They have stereotypes, based on the movies or TVs that have some atypical or neurodivergent person in them. Big Bang Theory is one a lot of
Yes.
people quote, Sheldon from Big
That's
Bang
right.
Theory. So, as you began to learn more about autism in adults, what was it that you liked about being in the relationship with him, and what were possibly yellow or red flags that you were seeing?
Okay, so I love that he was so direct. And I didn't know it was because he's German. So I didn't know because it was a German thing, you know, being straightforward by autism. But I'm like that too when I don't must. I'm direct. And so I loved that about him. And it was all about learning. So that was just like, oh, great. And so that was like, there are certain things also he liked, like keeping the house tidy and the lights, you know, he had some sensory issues. But I have to say, he didn't believe that he was on the spectrum. He just said his ex-wife believed that he was on the spectrum. So he was, from the beginning, he was in denial. He's like, no, I'm not autistic.
Got you. So you liked those things about him. What were possibly yellow or red flags that you were wondering, is this the right relationship for me?
Okay, so what I was seeing that he was feeding his kids with cereal and toast for breakfast, lunch, dinner all the time. And I was like, okay, this is not who I am. Like I like having healthy lifestyle. Like my nutrition is important, my children. So like one thing that gave me first red flag about him, because I don't think it's not anything to do with autism days, like he cared about himself more because he was eating very healthy, but he didn't mind giving his kids the cereal for every meal. So
What else? What else made you question or made you think twice about staying in the relationship?
So like he was very strict to his routines. Like he had to work out every day. And like then he's stretching and everything. So that was another red flag that he was not very flexible. And I know for a relationship that like you kind of need that flexibility, but I ignored everything because when he gave me that love, that I felt amazing, that I was just like, no, it's okay. He still loves me. He does things for me. But when you say yellow flag, what do you mean by yellow flag? I know red flag, green flag,
Yeah.
but don't know.
What a yellow flag is, it makes you have some caution. It makes you think, I need to think about this. I need to watch this. I need to see if there's patterns that may not be things that I'm comfortable with. That's usually what a yellow flag is.
Okay. So there is another yellow flag. I thought maybe it was something to do with autism and executive functioning. I wasn't sure by them. Like he was spending money like without thinking, but for his things only. Whatever he was buying me gift, whatever he thinks that I need. Not like he wouldn't ask me, oh, would you like this or something? He would just spend money on shopping, like anything makes his life easier, or that he can save time. Like he would, pay maybe $5,000 for the washing machine, and like $3,000 for a robot cleaner, vacuum cleaner. So, yeah. So I was just like, that's a little bit strange. Like he just didn't care about his finances. So that was another red or yellow flag for me, because I think it's important in a committed relationship.
Yeah, so it sounds like there were some things that you were questioning and you were wondering about. And I know you said he was German and you're from Istanbul. Were you both living in Australia at the time that you met?
Yes, so I moved to Australia 2009. I think he moved to Australia 2000, maybe 11 or something. And so I also lived in England and Canada before. So I left Turkey 24 years ago. So I've been living in English speaking countries for a long time in different cultures. So and there are certain things that I just assumed that he wasn't adjusted Australian culture yet, because he was working for himself. So it's yeah, and he didn't have many Australian friends either. Or he didn't actually have many friends. That was another flag. Like he didn't have anyone that, oh yeah, I will just go have drink with, or just go to cinema. He had activity friends. He would just see these people for doing certain activities, but he wouldn't share much with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another flag, because that's odd, like not
Okay.
having friends. Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like there were a lot of things that made you question. And then you shared with me that his daughter received a diagnosis. And what was that
Yes.
diagnosis of? What was her diagnosis?
Her mom wanted to get her diagnosed. Apparently, he didn't. He didn't believe she was on the spectrum. Anyway, his ex-wife got her diagnosed. They did the assessment, and she was diagnosed with autism, high functioning, level one autism. And it was maybe 5 months after I started dating with him, but he was not happy about that. And then I was like, okay, because it kind of another proof that, yeah, he's probably on the spectrum, because she is his daughter and she's on the spectrum. So he was in denial, and he's still kind of, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't want to involve with any of his her treatments. Yeah.
And that's sad for her, not to have him involved, especially if he might be able to understand some of the things she's going through and vice versa. So when, Domla, did you first start thinking, okay, this might be more than neurodivergence? And you said you identify as neurodivergent. Did I hear you correctly? Okay. Do you want to share a little bit about that before we talk about some of the things that you started thinking might be not related to neurodivergence in the relationship?
Oh, sure. So I've been reading a lot of books about autism and Asperger's syndromes for a long time. And then one day, accidentally, I start listening to this audiobook about autism in females. But because it was like same cover, I thought I was listening the other way around. I was like, hold on a minute. What is she talking about? This is me. So because it was completely different, the symptoms, and I just like, oh my goodness, I have been masking all my life. So I was just like, that is amazing because I realized my whole family are on the spectrum or neurodivergent because we always thought the others are strange. We are normal, you know. We're just all normal. All my cousins, we are normal. What's wrong with the other people? They don't get it because how our minds work. Like we get on well and we understand each other. Like we were very blunt and direct, and yeah, so that was so eye-opening because I have been masking to fit in the society's, expectations. You know, I was just thinking so much, okay, what should I do? And what should I say? Like I've been using all my energy for years just to fit in, just with unmasking. Yeah,
Isn't
so
that interesting?
it is very interesting. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a real.
and so I wonder if this is the first autistic man or neurodivergent man that you dated. For all you know, there may have been others that you dated, and now you get to look back and think about that. So thank you so much for sharing kind of your own
Pleasure.
discovery, and I'm sure you're on your own journey, looking back at your life. And I hear that from a lot of folks who, when they discover as an adult, or they identify as an adult as either autistic or autistic ADHD or ADHD, they look at their family and how they got along with certain members of the family or didn't get along so well with other members. And they can see the kind of neurodiversity thread, between the relationships they had with different members of their family. So it's so interesting. So, and you have one son too, who you are wondering if he is neurodivergent,
Yes,
correct?
yes,
Yeah.
yes, yes, yes.
So there's a lot of diversity around you. And so there was some shifting in your relationship with this man who was love bombing you in the beginning, and you were really enjoying the attention and his connection to you. But some things, that you talked about were either red flags or yellow flags. What made you think that it was more than autism and possibly narcissism? What
Yeah.
shifted your thoughts on in that area?
So we actually start seeing a couple therapists early in our relationship, maybe after like 5, 6 months, because he suggested there was something that I was not happy, and he said, "Oh, let's go counseling." And but he was happy with me. I was not happy with some certain things, like with his behaviors. But then I decided, okay, yeah, sure, why not? He's willing to work on our relationship. So we went to a couple therapy for, I don't know, a few months, and everything kind of seemed okay. But what was happening to me? I was so exhausted because I was adjusting everything, my life, to fit in his schedule, his life. Like, so he didn't need to do much because I was doing everything to have this happy, healthy, or not healthy, maybe a happy relationship. So he was extremely happy and was this loving, caring person, giving endless love. Just also my son, because my son loved him and he loved my son's hug and, "Oh, I love you." And, like my son is just a very open person. So, and one of the therapy session, I said to my therapist, "I feel exhausted." And he said to me, "Hold on a minute. We have to talk about this. Why are you feeling exhausted if you are happy?" And after that session, I decided to set some boundaries and I wanted to take care of myself. So instead of like just doing everything for him, "Oh yeah, I will come to your place. No worries, I will change this." I actually started to listen to my needs and what I need, and I start telling him, "No, sorry, I can't do this. I need to, meet up my friends." Everything started when I started setting boundaries. He was not happy. He was just moody, and he was just saying to me that he needs to think about our relationship, and I kind of panicked. I was like, "Oh, maybe I'm being like so cold and putting too much distance." So I actually tried to balance it a little bit because I was more like, "Okay, I'm gonna set boundaries, but also I will still be this loving, lovely person." And nothing was getting better. Like Nothing was changing. He was not happy at all, and he wanted to change my decisions. Even one of the therapy session I remember, he was not accepting the way how I wanted to feed my child, like because I wanted my child to have healthy food. So I told him that I'm gonna have dinner at home, then come to yours. But he was just, no, we need to, have dinner together. Like he was just not respecting my boundaries. I was like, that's not autism. That's wrong. Because everything needs to be how he wants it. And if I'm happy or if I'm not, it doesn't matter. So that was the time. I think it was maybe 5, 6 months before I broke off with him. And nothing got better. Like since then, I set my boundaries. Then he was just not this loving, caring man anymore.
And so things started to change at, when you started setting the boundaries. And did you feel, you mentioned to me when we were preparing for the podcast that you felt maybe that he was being manipulative or there was gaslighting going on? So can you share a
Yes.
little bit about what made you think that?
Sure. So what happened was, so there was this incident that he was very kind of snappy with me, and when I, told him that I was just being nice to you. I was asking you if you wanted to have some dinner, and you snapped at me, and I'm upset. And then he decided to, I mean, he was changing the story. No, it didn't happen like that. It happened like this. I said, no. I said, you are gaslighting me. And then he's talked about, oh, because this is my perspective and this is your perspective. I probably need to tell you this. He read so many books about relationships and psychologists, like many books. So he was so good at using those knowledge, those even exact sentences during this discussion and making me believe that maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe that's how it is. Maybe I see differently. So he started gaslighting me. And one time that he gaslighted, or he was trying during our therapy session, and I just kind of was not happy at all because I know gaslighting is related to narcissism as well. Like it's kind of that's what they do. Narcissists gaslight you. They just want you to believe that you are the problem all the time, or no, you're wrong. So yeah, so he tried. He couldn't try so many times because I actually was telling him, no, you're gaslighting me. So he had to kind of changed the way how he was manipulating me. He became more careful, and so I don't know if I should mention it. He actually created a folder in his computer related to me, so all the informations about me, it was in this folder. So he was learning about my life, my weaknesses, and everything, and he was able to use that so well when he manipulates me. It was so smart. That's what I was like, no, a narcissist, they need to, they should isolate you or something. No, he was doing it in a very smart way when he manipulated. It wasn't
Wow.
like he was forcing me to stay. He was making me believe that he loved me and everything was, that's how it should be. Just, yeah, very
That's a little
sad.
scary, Damla. That's a, in my opinion, that's a little scary that he had a folder, if he was using it to remember, the things that you liked and to be a better partner, maybe I could understand, that he was taking notes. But if he was using it to manipulate you, or using it in a negative way, that's a little bit scary. So, what about emotionally? How did he or how did you feel he responded to you as far as taking responsibility when you said that you felt hurt or you felt uncomfortable or that you wanted to put boundaries in place? Was there, did he respond positively? Did he shut down? How did he respond to you when those things were going on?
Sure. So he sometimes has these autistic meltdowns, and he was, he was very snappy and angry. He couldn't control his anger. And then he would tell me, it's you're not responsible for others' feelings. So you need to work on your childhood trauma. If this is triggers you, that means you need to work on yourself. So he was not taking any responsibility for raising his voice and making me feel uncomfortable. He was actually telling me, it's, I need to work on myself. And he's not responsible for my emotions either. Like when I'm sad, like it's just, that's nothing to do with me. You need to deal with that.
So there wasn't, it sounds like maybe he wasn't very empathetic when you were hurting or telling him that something that he did or something he said or the tone he was using was, you felt was hurting you or was hurtful. He wasn't very understanding. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, he wasn't. And what he would do now, I find it funny. He would actually use the exact same line from Big Bang Theory, what Sheldon would do. Would you like to have a cup of tea? You know, like, would you like to have some drink? Like, instead of, you know, hugging me, oh, like everything's okay. Yeah, he would do things like that. However, there were times that he would just tell me things that I should here, like, because he read all these books, you know, Gottman's book and everything, so he would sometimes do it right. But there were times that if he was not balanced, like if he's angry or something, he couldn't mask. Then he was just being himself with zero empathy. Like it was all about his feelings. Oh, I'm feeling sad, you know, I'm feeling happy.
That's
Yeah.
hard. It sounds like it might have been a really, really stressful relationship. So you said when we had talked that you had been in the relationship for 15 months, and clearly there were some good things in the relationship. And one of the reasons you wanted to talk and come on the podcast was to share with my listeners some of the things that you noticed that weren't related to autism, but were probably related to narcissism. And you wanted people to be aware of this because
Yes.
an autistic, anybody can be narcissistic. But because somebody is autistic or neurodivergent doesn't mean they're narcissistic. So, are there things in particular that led you to leaving the relationship that you want to share with the
Sure.
listeners?
So I know with people with autism, like myself too, we can be very self-centered sometimes. But what happens when we notice, I'm talking about myself, but most autistic, I'm sure they do that, feel safe. When we notice that we are hurting someone, we feel so sad. We feel bad about it. You know, we actually try to kind of apologize at least because we don't mean it. Maybe we cannot change our behaviors, but when we hurt someone, we actually feel sad. We feel something. So with my ex, that wasn't the case. That was the time that I realized that me being autistic and very, like, I have high empathy for people, very high sensitive, like I'm very sensitive. So I was just like, oh, he's on the spectrum. That's why he's doing that. That's why he thinks about himself. So I missed all the other narcissistic traits because I was just thinking, oh yeah, that he's just autistic. Like I really focused on labels way too much than I was blind to narcissistic traits. So I wouldn't want anyone to think that, oh, because he's doing the autistic, I would like people to focus on the behavior. If it's a toxic behavior, it doesn't matter that person autistic, ADHD, you know, neurotypical. It doesn't matter. That's not the right relationship. Like we just shouldn't miss those toxic behaviors, and we shouldn't believe that yes, they are gonna change because narcissists. People, they, I don't know, they never change, most likely. Dr. Romani says it, you must know her too. Like, very, very rare, very rare. Narcissists don't change. And he never apologized. He never said sorry. And he never took any responsibility for his behavior. So I shouldn't have missed that, but I did. So I wouldn't want anyone to stay in a toxic relationship because they think that, oh, he's got disability. No. Not all the autistic people are narcissists or narcissists or autistics.
Absolutely not. You're right. And so what was the, thank you for sharing that. What was the last straw for you? What was the thing that made you decide? I think you said you were together for about 15 months. What was the thing that made you decide, I am not going to stay in this relationship any longer?
Yeah. So that was I moved to my new place, and I struggled to find a rental. As in Australia, in Melbourne, we are really like struggling with finding rentals at the moment. There's a shortage. So I maybe looked for 6 months, and finally I found this place, and I moved. And I'm a single mom, and my son's father also in in a wheelchair, so he's not able to help me with anything, especially physically. Anyway, so when I moved, my ex said to me, "Oh yeah, I can help you if you want, and let me know." I said, "Oh, cool. Maybe I'm gonna use moving company because I can't carry these things. But maybe you can assemble these furnitures, couple of them. Then I don't have to pay hourly rate." He's like, "Yeah, that's okay. No worries." So the weekend that we didn't have our kids, he came and he assembled a couple of furnitures, but because he's autism, that's mostly his autism, he wanted to do certain things his way. He doesn't want any help. He just needs to follow the instructions or whatever is in his mind. So it took longer than he expected. And he was extremely angry and snappy. I was just so upset. And I actually told him to leave. I said, "Thank you so much, but can you just leave? Because I'm extremely tired and I need to be alone." Then we went to a therapy session because it was not good after that weekend. We were struggling. At the therapy session, I explained to the therapist that's what happened. And our therapist was trying to explain him that, oh, Damla needed emotional support because, she's a single mom, she's moving. That's normal, right? And he kept saying the therapist, "No, I wanted to work on my business that weekend, and it took more than 3 hours." He kept saying that, like he was right to be upset and angry. And our therapist literally stopped talking. He stopped talking, and he just said, "Do you realize we are not getting anywhere?" And then my ex said, "Oh yeah, Damla seems really uncomfortable and upset." And he said, "No, you look very uncomfortable. Actually, you look quite angry." And he was not happy at all. So what happened after the therapy session? He just left, even saying goodbye to me. So yeah, after that incident, I was just like, "No, no way. He will never change. He will never take any responsibility. He will never say, 'I'm sorry to make you sad.'" That was the last drop.
Yeah. And that was the end of the relationship.
That was the end. He didn't have time to have conversation with me. When he realized through my text message that that was going to end, he didn't even want to waste his time, because that's what he had told me. Actually, when we were in still relationship, "I wouldn't stay friends with you. Why would I waste my time?"
Oh, that's
It's
so sounds very, very painful, Dom. I'm so sorry. I'm so
That's
sorry.
okay. That's okay. It was painful, but things are getting better. I'm healing slowly.
Good, 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 good. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for being so open and vulnerable and sharing your story, both your personal story of, your discovery of autism and that your son possibly may be autistic, and the challenges that you had. And for the listeners, the reason I thought it was important for Damla to be able to share her story is that a lot of folks are questioning when they come to the support groups that I facilitate myself and I co-facilitate with Jody Carlton. They're wondering if some behaviors are related to neurodiversity or are they narcissistic behaviors. And it's not something that I'm an expert in, but I know my colleague Jody Carlton is, and a few other therapists and coaches do focus on this. So I want to end by saying, first, thank you, Damla, but also for those folks that are wondering, this is something you can explore with a therapist or a coach, and there are a lot of resources out there so that you can, protect yourself. And hopefully, if you're not in a healthy relationship and you think that your partner is narcissistic, that you'll get help for yourself and you'll be able to be on a journey to heal like Damla is. So,
Thank you.
Damla, yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want to share before we end the episode?
Sure. So I just want to remind everyone that there are a lot of great counselor and therapists, but not many have enough knowledge in neurodiversity. So that's like my own therapist told me at our single session, Damla, you know more about neurodiversity than I do. So thanks for telling me all this knowledge. Like he was kind of saying that there are not many. So it's important who your therapist is, and please and remember these people, some autistics, especially high functioning, they're extremely intelligent. So if they have narcissistic traits, they will be easily manipulate you and your therapist as well. So just be careful.
Okay. Well, thank you again for joining me, and I really appreciate it. And I wish you and your son the best as you move forward in your journey and in your life.
Thank you so much. It was very lovely to talk to you again.
You too. Take care.